Hi, I'm Laurence Meyer. I'm one of the co-directors of Weaving Liberation with Salman Ahmed, who's the other co-director. I'm based in Berlin, but right now we are in our team retreat, so we are in Cassis, France. I'm French, born in Senegal from Senegalese origin. And pronouns are she, her. You, Mumbi?
I am Mumbi Nkonde. I'm the lead on the Digital Justice Fund. I've been working with Weaving Liberation for a few months now. My background is in participatory grant making and anti-racism work and facilitation. I'm originally from Zambia, grown up in the UK, and I now live in the north bit of England in a place called Sheffield. I think that is probably enough information. I'm just going to look at my notes, make sure we cover everything that we need to. I think we should start off with a bit of an introduction to who Weaving Liberation is and to the fund, and then we'll talk a little bit about where we are in the process and go through each of the application questions, just to give a couple of notes around that, and then we'll open up the space to any questions that you have. But we'll start off with a bit of background information about Weaving Liberation.
And that's me. So to give a bit of background around Weaving Liberation is an entity that aims at supporting and resourcing digital justice organizing in Europe. It was created as a follow-up to a process that was called Decolonizing the Digital Rights Field in Europe process that was aiming at responding to the question, why are the people most negatively impacted by digital and technological harms? Not the one that we see at the forefront when it comes to strategic litigation, when it comes to campaigning, when it comes to advocacy work on digital rights and justice issues. And so that Weaving was created to coordinate the program that came out of this process. You can find the program and a bit of a blueprint of the process on the website of Weaving Liberation. Salmana is sending and sharing the information in the chat. And so that's also the origin story of the Digital Justice Fund, because this group of 30 plus people from very different backgrounds, different work practices, different justice orientations came together and thought of many, many beautiful things. And one of them was how to resource digital justice work in Europe in a way it wasn't resourced before, and that led to the idea of a fund that would work to fund racial, social, economic, environmental, transfeminist, migrant justice, disability justice, racial justice. I already said that. Organizations that work at the intersection of tech and justice. And so that's the background both of Weaving Liberation and of the fund. Maybe let me know if you want me to go directly to digital justice organizing as a definition. Yeah, so you will have seen in the description of the fund that we are defining digital justice organizing quite widely. And so just I'm going to give the definition that is available on the website and also in the application pack. So we define digital justice organizing as work that builds collective power towards equitable access to resources for all and creates conditions for the planet and all beings to thrive, including by enabling historically and structurally excluded communities to self-determine the purpose, design, production, deployment, and governance of digital technologies. So the idea of with these definitions, definition was to both have a very wide understanding of it to enable the groups that are going to apply to define for themselves what digital justice is for them, and just mitigate the top-down approach that any grant-making endeavor comprises, but also to make sure that it reflects the philosophy behind Weaving Liberation, that is that like technology is always second to a bigger idea of justice, and that like technology is always embedded within a framework and a cosmology, and is never actually the product, the production, so the production of a world, but always already a result of a world. So that's the definition, and happy to take any questions around that, so any clarification points. Yeah, Mumbi, think it's up to you now. Yeah.
I think now we'll do a little bit of just situating ourselves in where we are in the application process. So we opened up for registration a few weeks ago. So this was an opportunity for groups to come onto our grants platform, fill out a very short questionnaire just saying the name of the organization, the applicant name, where you were based, and how you would be sending your application in. The deadline for registering was on Sunday. So we won't be accepting any more registrations at the moment. And you should by now have received an invite in your inbox to start your proposal. And that will have come through, I think, tech support in email. And you should now have access to the full application form and be able to start working on the application. The deadline now for getting your application in will be Sunday, the 21st of June. And I think you will, if you've been able to go on the grants platform already and see the application form, you'll see that there is notes with each question that is just to try and like support you in understanding what it is we're asking for. We obviously really welcome any clarifying questions around the application form today. But before we start that, I thought we could go through each one and just give a couple of notes. Please feel free to jump in, Laurence, if there's anything you want to add. So as I said, you should now have an email in your inbox that will give you access, so you should be able to log in onto the grant platform in order to start doing your full application. You'll notice that your name and the title of the application and all of that will already have been generated. Some people have asked us if they can change the title of their application from registration. That is totally fine. One of the first questions we ask is when and how did your group start? So we'd really like to know what the origin story of your group is, including anything like the starting date of the group, what brought you together, who was involved, and what you started working on together. And obviously writing it as though the person who's reading it has no context of the group. And then we ask what your average annual budget is. And you're welcome to sort of give an average over the last 2 to 3 years, because we know that the resources coming in can really fluctuate, as well as how your spending can really fluctuate. So an average is really welcome. And the kind of guidance notes we've given is by annual budget, we mean your annual operating costs, including all your expenses. And the reason we're asking this is so we can understand the size of your group, and make sure that you're eligible for the fund. As you will know, one of our criteria is that you should not have a budget that exceeds 500,000 euros. We're also really aware that some groups are newer or informal and might not have this information yet. So we really welcome just an estimation. And then the second part of the question just says if you would like to add any additional context around your budget, please do so here. And that is just anything else that you feel like would be important for us to understand how your budget, your income and your budget We ask how many paid staff you have. And again, as part of our eligibility, we are really interested in funding groups that don't have any more than 10 paid staff, which includes any long-term freelance contracts. And groups that are run entirely by volunteers or collectives without paid staff are also really, really welcome to apply. Then we ask what is the mission and vision of the group? And here we just really like to understand more about what the aims of the group is. And that could also be the aims of a coalition if it's a number of groups applying together. And what change you are hoping to see or to ha help happen in the world, and anything you want to tell us about the values of the group and all the principles of the group. Question eight, we ask, how are the people directly affected by the issues you work on represented in the group's leadership or your decision making and implementation of your activities? And so here we're just really trying to understand how people affected by what you're working on are shaping the ways in which you work, the activities that you're doing, the way that you make decisions. And then we go into the next section. You'll notice for each question as well that we've put a word count, and that word count isn't to suggest that you have to write exactly that number of words. It's just a kind of guiding limit. And the next part, it goes a little bit more specifically into your work. And these questions help us to understand exactly how you're working on the issue of digital justice organizing, how your group operates day to day, and what you're planning to do with the grant. So question nine just asks you to please describe the work you are applying to be funded for. And so we'd like to understand the specific work you want support for, what you hope to do, who it will benefit, and why it matters. Then we go into just asking the geographic scope of the work. So, as you know, as part of the eligibility, we are only resourcing groups who are based primarily in Europe. And that means the focus of your activities must also include Europe. However, we really understand and welcome the fact that people work in coalition and may also be working with groups who are based internationally.
Just because
Question
there has
11.
been just
Sorry, go on.
on the Europe part, just because it has been the source of a bit of confusion. The definition we use for Europe is Council of Europe, so the 46 state, 47 states, I think, member states of the Council of Europe, not Europe as in European Union. So it's wider. I'll share a link to Salman is on it. Exactly. So there is a link that has been shared, member states of the Council of Europe.
Yeah, great. Thank you for sort of clarifying that again, because we have gotten a few questions about it. Then we have question 11. How does your work relate to the issue of digital justice? Which Laurence sort of shared how we understand digital organizing, and we've tried to have as expansive a kind of definition as we can. And we know that movements across different contexts will have their own ways of defining digital justice. And so we have kept our definition, which you can also find in the application pack, which is on our website and is in a number of different languages. We've kept it intentionally broad to allow for groups to really be able to self-define the work they're doing. Question 12 is, why do you want to do this work, and what are your aims with this work? So it's a little bit of a similar question to one that we've asked earlier, but we just wanted to give space again for you to add anything here that hasn't been already addressed in previous questions. that will better help us to understand either your group or your analysis or the ways that you work or who's involved. And then the next question actually goes specifically into asking who will do the work. So this is a space for you to tell us about your team and any other groups and collectives that might be involved and how you work together. And question 14 is, how does your group practice care? So you can share any examples of how you embed care, well-being, accessibility, or community support in your organizing, your decision making, or your day-to-day work. We also recognize that lots of groups will have limited resourcing and capacity for doing this presently. So this is also a space for you to dream and to tell us the ideas around what you would want to do in order to practice care in your group. And then the final section is around your budget, which will help us understand your funding needs, how you intend to use your grant. And we really welcome you providing all the costs that you need to carry out the work you're applying for. We can cover the costs of salaries and overheads for work in your organization that is directly connected to digital justice organizing. You'll see that we've provided a budget template and guidance notes as well. So you are able to also just use your own budget. You don't have to feel like you have to use that one. And some of the guidance we've given is to please give us a brief budget to show what costs you'd like covered. It doesn't need to be highly detailed or itemized budget, because if you are offered a grant, we will spend some time together going over the budget again. You can include core costs, including staff salaries, operational costs, care, well-being, and accessibility costs are encouraged. And if you are a volunteer on collective, you can include stipends or compensation for people's time. And you can also adapt the categories to reflect your own organizing practice. And then you'll see that there is a place for you to upload the budget. And then we ask for any additional documents that can help us understand more about the group. And here, if you have an official copy of your registration documents or any informal governing documents that your group works with, we'd also really like to see any financial statements you might have. That could be audited financial statements, or they could just be financial accounting documents that you have, and preferably something that's in the last year. And because I've spoken for so long, I'm going to stop there and just sort of open up the space for any questions. If you want to speak over the mic, please feel free just to put your hand up. And if you just want to post it in the chat, we also welcome that.
There has been a question I've answered to on the chat, but maybe it's good to also deal with it orally, answer to it orally. The question was, how is the digital fund, what is the digital fund, digital justice fund prioritizing? One question of cybersecurity, ethical use of digital tools, AI in the programs, or two, this is to address injustice caused by the digital world, such as economic threats caused by AI data centers, etc., etc. So I responded, and that the fund is concentrating on structural issues of injustices and oppressions, and the role that tech plays in it. That's not how I responded to it, but basically, so it's the case too. It is to address the injustices caused by digital technologies and how they are embedded in specific power dynamics that creates inequality and unequal access to resources, but also visions of technologies that are embedded in justice frameworks that would enable different worlds to come to fruition. Exactly. And that can, in some instances, partake to cybersecurity, cyber safety, or cyber care for groups that are working on digital on justice issues. There are other questions, and I read them out loud. If I can do that. So there are for the person that has a bit of a misunderstanding around the registration form, just can you please send us an email at digitaljusticefund@weavingliberation.org, and so we'll try and figure out what the issue is. Okay, hi, as far as we understand, are major corporations eligible to apply for the grant? For workers' cooperative, and there is no profit sharing among shareholders. We just want to clarify that for sure we are a very small scale corporation. Thessaloniki is seeking to produce now. I think that those are the information that, like, in the financial information you would want to share to help us understand the context of your, your organization and the functioning of your organization. Naomi, if you have the same issue, please just send us an email at digitaljusticefund@weavingliberation.org regarding the registration issue, and we'll try and come back to you as soon as possible on that. Two questions from another person. Can we link to things in our application, or does everything need to be in the application? You can add links. I think there is actually like a box where you can add links, you can add documents. Is there a second stage for this phone if we get through the first round? Don't know if maybe you want to answer that.
No, there isn't a second stage. Just to sort of describe what will happen. Once we receive all of your applications, and the deadline is Sunday the 21st of June, we will go through the applications to check that they are eligible for the fund. So please make sure that you've read through the application pack, which is available on our website, that has clear points around how we are assessing whether or not groups are eligible. And we've also asked very specific questions around that in the form in order to check that. So the team will go through in order to check that groups are eligible. And once that check is done, then we will be pulling together, different sets of applications in order to have our peer circle and our peer circle members then read and assess your applications. And then after that, we'll have created a shortlist of the groups that we will be taking forward to a kind of decision-making process that will happen with a peer circle in order for us to look at the shortlisted groups and decide what will be funded. So there won't be a second stage. I think there could be a very small chance that if the organisation is shortlisted, there could just be some additional information we need that would be like a quick email being like, hey, we didn't get this information, or we didn't understand this thing, where we just ask you that question directly, but we won't be requiring you to fill out any more application forms or do any interviews or anything like that.
Thank you. I think the last question of this pack of questions is, are we okay to apply for core costs to do what we are already doing, or do we need to specifically budget for a project?
I think for us, the key thing is you can apply for core costs, but the applying for core costs means that you are able to demonstrate that the work you're doing is directly connected to digital justice organizing. And that's because legally what we can fund and we can resource is work connected to digital justice organizing. So it could be work that you've already been doing. That's totally fine. But we do need to, you do just need to be able to explain how that work is connected to digital justice organizing. Hope that explains that. I've just seen a question about the financial documents. Must the financial documents or statements be prepared by an accountant? If you do have any financial documents or statements that have been audited or prepared by an accountant, that would be great for us to see that. But we'll also accept other forms of financial documents, financial accounting that your group organization has. I think mostly it's better for us to be able to like understand or see something rather than for you to attach nothing at all. Yeah. If you've got any more questions about that, please do feel free to drop us an email as well.
There is, would the Digital Justice Fund be interested in funding aid delivered through digital tools, for example, access to medical support, legal assistance, and abortion care through digital solutions? You're posing, so I'm guessing you want me to come in. I
Right,
think
yeah.
this, I think this is a question that is hard for Mumbi and I to answer because of the way the decisions are going to be made, which is that the peer circle is going to decide on which work they're going to fund. So I don't think it's completely outside the remit of digital justice work. But how it's going to be evaluated by the peer circle, that only the peer circle can respond to that. And so, yeah, I think I would invite you to make the case of why it is a digital justice issue. Will the group be interested? Okay, I'm trying to read the question that is very long. If Mumbi, I'll just like digest it in my mind. So if you want to look at other things, I also see Hoda and Ali, you have your hand raised. So if you want to come in and ask the question.
Hoda and Ali, did you want to ask your question?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I have actually somehow three small questions. First is like if our like the project that we are applying for is accessible to everyone outside of Europe, is it also like get the funds or is should be the audience or people who the project is for just in Europe? This is my first question. The second is actually where the fund comes from, the money, and how many projects can get the fund. Thank you.
Yeah, I can answer some of these and really appreciate all the great questions people are asking, because whatever you're asking, somebody else probably also wanted to ask that. And also just to remind everybody that we have application packs where we've put a number of the questions that we were trying to anticipate you might ask. And so it's really worth spending time just looking at those as well. To answer the question, where does the funding come from? So the three funders who've resourced us with the 500,000 euros are the Ford Foundation, Luminate, and Oak Foundation. We've linked to them on our website and also in the application pack if you want to further understand the roots of those resources. I think that's a really great question. When it comes to what we mean by being based in Europe and the focus of your activities, we are intending to support organizing on the ground in Europe or work that leads to change in Europe. And so by based in Europe, we mean that at least 50% of your group has to be based within one of the countries within the Council of Europe. And when it comes to the focus of your activities, we really understand that a lot of digital issues and challenges faced are, of course, global, they're international, they're across borders, and that's how we envision change happening in Europe. So if you are working or building a coalition with groups outside of Europe, but on something that concerns Europe, this would be within the scope of the fund. But you yourself, as a lead applicant and as an organization, do need to be based in one of the countries in the Council of Europe. I think you had a third question that right now I've just lost. Would you be able to repeat it?
Yes, how many groups or how many funds is available? Like how many projects get the funds?
We don't know that yet, mostly because this is the first time we've done a funding round, so we had no idea how many applications we were going to get, how many were going to be eligible, what kinds of budgets and things people are going to be asking for. So the guidance that we've given is that you can apply for anywhere between €10,000 to €50,000 to be used over a 2-year period. So right now it's very difficult for us to say exactly how many projects it would be, but we do have €500,000 to redistribute. We anticipate it would be somewhere around 20 to 25, but that's still right now to be fully worked out. Okay, I'm gonna just have a look. Oh, Abdul, did you want to come in and ask your question?
Because I see a
Yes,
question about.
sorry, yes, so, sorry. Hi, people. Hi, thank you, Mbi. Good to be here. Yeah, so I'm from PACN, which is Progressive AI and Quantum Network. What we, I guess, like, do how we work is we work with existing organizations and we help create like digital infrastructure for them. For instance, like we work with a law firm that represents people who face anti-Palestinian oppression, and like we've essentially created like digital fundraising infrastructure with them. We've also kind of built websites for other organizations, and I'm just curious to know whether we can essentially apply for funding to continue building digital infrastructure for this kind of like basket of organizations which we're like politically and morally aligned with, or do we need to like iterate on a kind of independent new like new project, you know, because the our whole point of existing is to like create digital infrastructure for these organizations which we really respect, if that makes sense, or does it need to be our own kind of thing, if that makes sense?
I think I understand. I don't know if you wanted to jump in, Laurence, as well. You go.
Happy to. You don't have to ideate a new project. You can be continuing the project that you work on. So I think if that's the question, then yeah, you can just continue working on what you are working on. You don't have to create a whole new project for that. What we want to be supporting is also work that is already happening. If you're already doing it, why do you, would you have to create a whole new thing? To be eligible, no, it has doesn't have to be a new project, doesn't have to be a new set of actors that you're working with. Nothing has to be new. It just has to be to do with digital justice organizing. There was a question around like the limit of 10 paid staff to 10 and under. So just to be clear, your group can always be wider than 10 people. What we are looking at is from a resourcing perspective, how many people are being paid by the organization? The logic behind that is that we wouldn't think it is a good way of prioritizing if we were to resource organizations are bigger than Weaving Liberation. So we are six paid staff, and to just like allow for different scale of remuneration and organizing within the organizations that are going to be resourced. The limit is 10 paid staff, but you could be like 45 people working as volunteers, as long as you have less than 10 paid staff, including consultants in it. Yeah, I'm trying to follow through with the questions in the chat, but it is quite hard to, if any of you want to come in the mic to ask the question that we might have missed, please feel free to do so.
And I've replied back to some messages in the chat as well. I saw that someone has asked, can you share how many open calls you organize per year? We are, and this is an entirely new area of work for Weaving Liberation. So this is a call that we're doing this year because we had access to the resources to do that. There's no, at this moment, there's no guarantee that we would have access to the resources to do another call like this. So right now, I guess we're working to deliver and redistribute these resources with the hope that they would be further, but that's not right now guaranteed. Chandra, do you want to ask your question?
Is that working now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah.
Great. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I have a, yeah, in a digital application having digital problems. Sublime, right?
Happens.
I have a clarification question. We're working largely in a collective process, and the collective is constantly shifting. Like, there are core planners, core members, but because of the nature of the work, people that participate in the project are automatically a collective, because after we move from the digital process and archive what has happened in the work we do together, it's co-authored. So most of these people that are the rolling collective are representing endangered languages. And so we want them to be paid. This would be like a stipend. But since we rotate as the numbers of people that we are, and then we have these stipended volunteers in our structure, does that count as 10, including the stipended volunteers? Because for some of our work sessions, we could be 10. We're not always 10. We're generally 2 or 3. But then depending on how many participants come for the endangered language work, we could have more. Mm-hmm. That's the question. Thank you.
Thank you. That was very clearly asked. I think it's a really great question, and I think we have to be able to tell the difference between having regular contracted, be that freelance contract or that be short-term contracts, to people who are part of your organizational employment, and people who are coming to participate in projects and are being paid stipends. So I think I would be able to, and would encourage you to, like, write this in your application form, that this is a collective that shifts and moves. And sometimes you're working with people where they're being paid a stipend, but they're not really, from what it sounds to me, like, on a employed contract. And I think, as Laurence was saying, you know, part of the reason that we've create that distinction was to prioritize resourcing for organizations that are in a more underfunded positions compared to Weaving Liberation, but that it wouldn't really make sense for Weaving Liberation to be funding and resourcing an organization that has access to more resources than we do. So I hope that all supports and helps answer your question. Laurence, did you want to add anything?
Not on that. I saw two questions related around, like, the question of, like, digital medias and stuff like that. I think, again, it's important to understand, because I saw in one of the questions that there might be an clarity around what the term justice and how we use it. We don't use justice in as an equivalent or a synonym to litigation or to the justice system as in the legal system. So justice here is understood more broadly as a process that enable equitable access to resources. And any work that enable equitable access to resources and understand the role that tech plays in preventing it or enabling it is a project that would fall within the scope of the fund. Now, is it enough to use digital tools to do documentation on subject that don't partake to the question of digital or just organizing? I think it could be. Is that the most successful application? Hard to say. From our perspective, I would say that, like, that is not the strongest case for digital justice organizing at first sight. But also, I think that is a case maybe to be made. I don't want to, but because the question was around, like, energy within the team and, like, how much capacity. My sincere answer from my perspective, but I'm not the one making decision, is maybe not the strongest case to say we are publishing our article online, but maybe it is. So if you have a very strong case to say, like, this is digital justice because X, Y, Z, don't want to prevent you from saying that, with the caveat that we don't talk about litigation. We talk about digital justice as in the wider sense of justice. If that, I hope that answers the questions.
Yeah, I would just add to sort of better understand Weaving Liberation as an organization, our practices, some of our analysis and theory, it is worth spending a little bit of time on our website, particularly looking at like the program of work that we've done, including the vision for digital justice organizing. I think that really, I know like I've also been on the side of writing funding applications, and I think if yeah, just reading a little bit around the work of an organization can sometimes much better support you to see how well you fit into that. Yeah, and we really, really support people to make the decision as to whether or not this is where you want to prioritize your time. I'll just put a link to the Weaving Liberation kind of program of work.
Peter is flagging something about the website. It could be basic. I'm not sure I understand what it means, but I will. Cathy is, and I hope I'm not butchering your name. Your hand is up, so please come in and ask your question.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. So we are a Balkan Commons network. We are a network of grassroots groups around the Balkans and the southern peripheries of Europe. And basically, our idea is to make a platform to kind of connect the grassroots groups and movements that are organizing around border justice, around social justice, and around climate justice, because they are all interconnected. We want to make a platform that will kind of maybe bring forth to the connection and maybe solidarization of the struggles around the Balkans, and also to kind of counter this depolitization that is happening in the Balkans in this in these days and years, actually. So I wonder if this is eligible, this kind of platform. Would it be like, how much chance would you give it for to be eligible for the funding?
I think that's a bit of a broken record here. It is eligible. It is digital justice work. How the peer circle is going to position themselves in terms of priority is untrue. I think maybe it's good to tell how many applications we've received to just like give a sense. I don't know, maybe if you think that makes sense. Looking at you. Your guidance.
Yeah, sorry. I think make sure that you've understood our four eligibility points around which are some of the questions that people have been asking, because that's the first kind of processing that we're going to do. And then I think if you can make a case for how the work is really important and really crucial as part of digital organizing, then you'd have as good a chance as anybody else. And I know that people always want to be given really deep, precise information about their group specifically, but it can become quite difficult for like me, who has not understood all of the work that your group does, which is the only way we can find that out is through the application form, to be like yes, no. Unless there is something that I can clearly understand and clearly flag up as being like, oh no, I don't think that would fit. So yeah, if you feel like you fit the eligibility, if you understand what we mean by digital justice organizing, and you feel that the project or the core work you're already doing fits into that, and you feel like your group has the time and the capacity to put in an application, then we obviously encourage you to. And one of the problems of most funding redistribution processes, philanthropy in general, is there's always more amazing, incredible work happening on the ground than you're able to resource, which is the absolute unfairness of all of these systems. But yeah, please, please spend time on the website reading a little bit about Weaving Liberation, and spend time with the application form. I think it's in maybe eight different languages. And we've worked to create something that could be as useful as possible for you in this process. So please, please do engage with it. And if after doing that, there is still a question you have, please feel free to then drop us an email and we'll usually get back to you within a couple of days.
So short answer, it sounds specific within digital justice organizing. Can we tell you how high your chances are? We can't, because we're not the one deciding on that. And the peer circle, not one person in the peer circle can tell you, because there are also 10 people deciding on it. To make the case if you think it makes sense and it aligns with your internal capacity, your need, and your own theory of change, would be our advice. I'm sorry, I'm going probably to mispronounce that name, Wouter Tibbens.
Very well pronounced. Thank you very much for this webinar and for your amazing work. I wanted to ask this. I'm not going to ask you for judging our proposal yet, but about our group. So we are a group of organizations, people from different grassroots and commons and cooperative organizations working for digital autonomy. And the question here is about whether we propose, just as our organization, and mention all the organizations and people that are involved, or that I would invite them as co-applicants to the proposal. What would make sense?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
Yeah,
sure. I understood.
Okay. So we are a few people at our foundation and some people at the Commons Network and these other organizations, different commons and cooperative organizations working for digital autonomy and digital justice. And we'll do this as an alliance. We are working and we are seeking funding to make real what we are dreaming of. And to do this application, the question is whether we do that just as the Free Knowledge Institute, as our foundation, which is the coordination group of the groups, let's say, or that I invite all of them as co-applicants to our proposal. What would make sense?
I think in general, there is one of the questions in the application that invites you to clarify or just like share with whom you're going to do the work, if it's a coalition work, and that's a good place to explain that, but also explain how those different groups are going to take part in the decision making and the implementation of the work that you're applying for, and how your organization and those other organizations are community led. So whatever the community is, right? I think it's important. Like, we take often the question of, like, for example, question of renters unions, and if it is a project or work around renters unionizing or renter or justice around that, then the people that are doing the work must be renters, right? So that, just to give a bit of a sense of what we mean by community led. But if you're in coalitions, it's just important to make sure that you explain who the people are in the coalition and how they are part of the decision making process and the implementation. And finally, in terms of the eligibility criteria, important to note that only the applicant organization needs to fulfill all of the eligibility criteria. So that might be a good thing to think about in your strategy of who should be the applicant.
In that case, we do comply with the applicant criteria.
We're
low budgeted grassroots organization.
But I think, like, I was giving like the wider context about, like, if you are working with multiple organizations, the organization applying needs to fulfill all the eligibility criteria. I think it's also very important for organizations that with the criteria around, like, it has to be in Europe, for example, and the rest, just explain to us and expose how you're going to work together, if
Excellent.
That makes sense.
Yeah, thank you very much then. All right.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I just saw the, I think this was a question that came in email. Did we cover this already? We're a collective of 14 people, bigger than 10. We contribute our time voluntarily and as freelancers.
Yeah, we responded to it twice now.
I hope that, that's been clarified. If for any reason that anything is still not feeling clear, do feel free to drop us an email. I think the second part of the question maybe hasn't been answered. Would you consider a proposal that redistributes finances to other grassroots organizing groups whom we want to collaborate with and who may not be a legal entity, have a bank account for their work? We propose to enter this in the budget. We do have, we've sort of, I think, covered some of the things that we are not funding in this particular round. And again, because we ourselves are a re-granting organization, re-granting these resources, we are not able to give resources to groups who then want to re-grant them on. It's a very strategic decision, which is partly A, because this is not a lot of resources. We really want to support people to apply to do the digital organizing work that they need to be doing. And we don't necessarily see that this size of budget is the size of budget that would make sense to be then setting up a further redistribution process. But also want to say, we really draw the distinction between being like, oh, we're working with coalition with these other groups, and we want to pay a stipend to people who are coming in to do some of the delivery of the work. Paying a stipend, I think, is really different to setting up another process in which you'll be redistributing on the resources. I think this is definitely in the what we do not fund section. And yeah, I hope that makes sense.
And I think it's important to think, like, maybe what you are understanding as re-granting is not what we are understanding of as re-granting, right? Like, if it is like a contracting thing, if someone is like giving you, like doing a service for this project and they have a contract, a work contract, or if there is like the stipends could be another way of like actually making sure that people are resourced for the work that they are doing, for that work that you are collectively imagining and implementing, that's something else that re-granting, right? So I think also make sure that what you are right now using as re-granting is what re-granting is in our understanding, which is a process by which you select organizations that you think should get some money to do a project that they want to do in very like separately from your organization. Right. So I think just make sure that, yeah, maybe you just want to resource the people that you're working with, and that that can be done by different means of contracting, stipends, et cetera, et cetera. I think, Mustafa, you have your hand up. We can't hear you, but hopefully you're not talking in the void.
Hey, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is about the requirement to submit financial statement at the, the last bit of the application. So we're not yet a formed organization. We're just a group of people coming together to do this. So we don't have any expenses or from the last period or anything like that. Do we need to submit something like financial projections maybe, or do we leave this empty? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Could you repeat the question? Sorry, because we're replying
I can do it. Basically, if you're an unregistered group, if you're a group that is just starting, you can just share with us whatever you have on your financial organizing in your organization, your collective, right? Which might be a financial projection, like a budget, but also like how you're going to manage the money, like how, what's your plan to manage the money? Where is the money being received? What are like the spending costs that you're like foreseeing? How are those things actually in line with the logic of not-for-profit organizing? So what we want to understand is like, how is your financial organization within your organization aligned with the like being a non-profit, registered or unregistered, and where is the money going to go, right? For us, that's quite important. And like, how, yeah, how are you going to spend the money? How are you spending the money? If you have any costs, if you like, what is the, your system of accounting internally? Doesn't have to be very complex, but we just want to understand that. Yeah, I hope that answered the question. I see Nana has a question.
Yes, can you hear me? Yeah, okay, great. Thank you so much. I was wondering if we get the grant, and do we have any chance to network with the other grant receivers?
Yeah, so what we are planning is a moment where all the grantees are going to meet once their grants are approved. So that is going to happen, and hopefully the grantees can then attend. And then we will try and create spaces, voluntarily optional, where grantees can meet maybe online or whatever. So the idea is to facilitate knowledge sharing and learnings between the grantees, for sure. Hamida?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for the session. Really informative, and I got a lot of questions answered on the way. But just one last one, just to be sure. Mm-hmm. Because the way you understand digital liberation, what I read from your website, I think we are eligible with this project, but still to check. Yeah, I represent Minority Azerbaijan. It's a media platform protecting LGBT people in Azerbaijan, and we all are in exile. And so we also do a lot of underground community organizing because it's a very repressive.
Hamida, just a reminder that you're being recorded, just in case of whatever you want to share. Just
yeah, that's thing okay. Like, I mean, there are thank you for reminding. There are three of us that are doing all the work, and we're public, so it's okay. But thank you for a reminder. Yeah, I was just like going for it. But yeah, the thing is that what we want to do is to actually create a physical space, because majority of our community has been in very different spaces across the world, across Europe, in exile, in migration. So when you talk about digital liberation, do you also understand it as like spaces, imagining communities, reconnecting communities that have been in the situation of only being able to connect digitally and needing space, physical space to be together and imagine something?
Again, I would say make the case for it.
I mean, we do have.
Make the case for it. We're not deciding. Wumbi and I are not deciding on it. I understand the logic behind your project. Do I think, like, on the first side, wouldn't be the thing that I would identify as digital justice? I hear that you have something that you're thinking. And I think, like, just, like, yeah, bring it to fruition and see if, like, it resonates with the peer circle is the advice I can give, because that's the reason why the definition is quite wide. Numbi is looking at the clock and we are a bit past time, so we will take the last questions, and I'm sorry for that. Just try and be concise and then we will wrap it up. if anyone else has, like, if you have to drop off because we're at time, please just feel free to do so. Sorry about that. Natalie?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for the session. And maybe I just get the same answer as, like, make a case for it. But So I'm part of a software project which is building software for community organizing. And I am seeing this topic of life affirming technology work, but I also see, so I'm trying to understand the digital justice organizing, and I do read the organizing. So given we are a software project for communities, we do have the organizing aspect, but we also have a technical kind of like coding aspect. Mm-hmm. And I wonder mm-hmm. how much this work would also fit under your umbrella.
It does fit, yeah.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
No, it's totally fair that people would ask. It makes lots of sense, yeah. And we're really glad to be able to host a webinar where people can ask questions and you can sort of learn from each other and hold a bit of a peer learning space. Should we take the last question? I don't know if Mustafa...
Is it an old hand, Mustafa, or is it a follow-up?
Yeah, it's just a follow-up. So for new unregistered groups regarding the financial statement, how does that, what you described, differs from what we're supposed to submit as the budget? Is it like a little bit more detailed, or I'm just trying?
It's like your internal rules, right? Yeah, go.
Yeah, a financial statement could be, you might be, for example, a newer group, maybe you've been running for 6 months, 9 months, and in that time, you have had some budget that you've been spending. You might already have a kind of a record being like, in 6 months we've been running, or in the 9 months we've been running, this is how we've been spending resources. You might even have an organizational budget where you're saying, or a group budget, let's say, where you're like, for the next 18 months, we are gonna spend this much on venue costs, this much on food, etc. But what you might be coming to us for could be a very specific project that only funds some of the work of the group. And so that's why a budget, which is very specific for the amount of money that you are asking Weaving Liberation for, would be different from perhaps a financial statement, that's how you've already been spending money, or an organizational budget, which is many other, counts for many other things that you're not asking us for. And of course, what we hope is, and there are many different ways for people to do this, is that all groups, in some ways, you're thinking about budgeting, resourcing, financing, and you have some practices within your group. And or if you've just started out, you have started to imagine what your processes would look like. Because also for us, it's difficult to give a group, 50,000 euros if you don't have an understanding yet within the group of how you would manage that. So we're just trying to see or have demonstrated to us that you have some processes in place, whether historical or that in the future you will. Does that help?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, it's like organizational spending versus project spending that we're applying for. That'd be like the budget.
Yeah. Also, like, what's the logic around money? Basically, what is the logic around money in your collective? How do you deal with money is the question. What's your plan to deal with money?
Our collective hasn't even been formed yet. That's why we don't have, like...
So what's your plan to deal with money? How do you envision to deal with money?
Yeah, because even if you're new... If you get your first load of funding, you are still going to have some way in which you're going to manage that money.
Yeah. So how are you going to manage, how are you planning to manage money coming in? Whether it's like that grant or something else is the question, if you don't have any processes in place. Zoe?
Yeah. Yes, can you hear me? I guess, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for all the information. I have just a last question, because I couldn't find the information about in which way you're going to distribute the grant funding to the winning project, if, I don't know, 50% at the beginning and then 50 at the end, or which kind of accountability or reporting process are you expecting? I don't find this information. Thank you.
Yeah, I think... Mumbi, do you want to go or should I?
Yeah, I can go. I think you should find this information in the application pack. So if you go on our website under Digital Justice Fund and you scroll to the bottom, we have links to application packs in different languages. And in some of the frequently asked questions, what we've shared is, you know, there's a question around what are the reporting requirements on your grant? And we've just said, you know, as part of our commitment to shifting power dynamics within grant making, we are intending to have a very low burden reporting process that would happen probably at the end of your grant. For example, providing some basic financial records on how the grant was spent. And then we're also going to want to work closely with each group to support them to think about what kind of learning journey they would like to be on. So what is it you would like to learn and understand about the work that you've done, so that you're not just writing a report for us, but you're also having some kind of reflective process that will support you in your work. And that could look like slightly different things for different groups. In terms of like how we will pay the grant, again, I think that will be dependent on each organization, if they have a fiscal host, if they have their own bank account, how large the grant is, how much we understand about the financial process, and fundamentally what it is you need. So we'll be trying to be really responsive, as well as staying within kind of legal requirements. I hope that helps, Zoe.
Thank you very much.
Asma, and it's the last question, Asma, and then we're going to close that session. And just
can you hear me?
Reminding everyone. We can hear you, Asma. Go.
Perfect. Just a second, sorry. Une seconde, Sandra. Je vais s'il te plaît, une seconde, deux secondes. Oui. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so my question is we were like in my group, we were discussing registering officially. But for so many reasons, until now, we operate through other collectives and organizations, and was wondering if we're not formally registered. Oh my god, sorry.
I think I got your question. Let me see if I can spare your voice.
Through a different organization instead.
Yeah, exactly. So I think spare your voice. Yes, you can. Just explain to us how that relationship work, and if there is any document that can testify to that separation between those two organizations, that is great. If you have like a MOU, so a memorandum of understanding, if you have like any agreements written, if you have like a way of working that can just like explain that relationship, that would be fine.
Yeah, the relationship being a member, an active member in different organizations, and that would be to choose an organization that would probably be fit. Because in case we get the funding, we don't want to get the money ourselves, because that would create a lot of tax headaches for us. Basically.
For any possible reason, you wouldn't want to do that. Reminding you all that you are recorded. But I think whatever the relationship is, please explain it. If you can back it with documents, it's great. Also, where you want the money to be disbursed and how we can make sure that it's still like enable the due diligence in terms of like that the money is received for the group and the work that has been awarded the grant. Just explain to us that, and that should work.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much everyone for attending, for taking the time, for being interested in the fund. If anything wasn't answered, please drop us an email. We probably won't be replying to anything today because I've seen we've got a lot of emails coming today, but we'll be trying to tomorrow and for the next few weeks. We'll also share this webinar. So if you know anybody who missed today, we'll find a way to either put it on our website or put it through social media. But yeah, you're really welcome to be in touch, and thank you so much. We're going to close now.
The email address is digitaljusticefund@weavingliberation.org. Please feel free to ask us a question once you have, as long as Mumbi said, looked at the application pack. It's available in different languages. And also add on the notes in the in the application. And yeah, just a gentle reminder that if you haven't registered yet, sadly, you won't be able to fill in the application, as Mumbi said at the beginning of the webinar. Yeah.
I see you're tired.
My mind is just, so, thank you all.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Thank you so much. Bye.